Y'all know you can do better than that. God is good. He's good all the time, and all the time He's good. How many of you have had a good week? Raise your hand. How many of you have had a bad week? Raise your hand. Well, hey, it's all right, because at the end of the day, God is still God. God is God in the valley, and God is God in the mountaintop. And I want you to rest in the fact that God knows what you're going through, and He is perfecting the things that are concerning you. Now, one of the things that I realize as a pastor is before every service, the pastor needs to be able to just hand that service right on over to the Lord for Him to have His will. So y'all stand to your feet. Let's praise God. Let's offer up to Him the sacrifice of praise. God, in Jesus' name, Father God, I welcome You in this service right now. Holy Spirit, I ask that You'd have Your way, God. Lord, I ask that You'd walk down every single aisle right now. God, You know exactly what Your children have need of, and God, I ask that You'd meet every need. God, heal every broken place right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask for You to comfort every troubled heart right now. God, every bit of grief, God, I ask that You would comfort it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, You know every obstacle that we face. God, I thank You, Lord, that You're resolving things for us today. God, every family member that we're concerned about, God, right now, Lord, I thank You, God, we turn them over to You right now. If you have a family member that you're concerned about, I'm going to ask you to take that moment with Jesus, and I'm going to ask you to turn them over. I'm going to ask you to turn them over. God, I thank You, Lord, that we trust You. God, You've got those family members right in the palm of Your hand. God, I ask right now that You would create a stirring inside of every heart, Lord, that's in a backslidden state. God, they're not here and they're in a backslidden state. God, I ask that You would change every heart. God, stir every heart. Lord, convict every heart right now in Jesus' name. God, for the souls that You want this church to win, God, I ask that You begin to draw them here right now. God, we thank You for everything that You're going to do in this service. And Lord, I thank You, God, right now for every soul that's touched and changed, God, forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to welcome you to church this morning. I thank God for all that He's doing. I thank God for all that He's ever going to do. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows exactly what He's doing with you. If you've come up in here troubled today, I want to tell you that God has the answer. I'm going to tell you to give God the next hour of your life, to let that word fall on the ground that's good ground, where you can soak up the word of God and apply it to your life. See, the word of God, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it'll work for you if you'll put it into practice. The word of God says, now be doers of the word and not hearers only. There's a lot of hearers up in God's houses and very little doers, and people need to begin to do the word of God. If people won't do the word of God, they don't need to ask God why it ain't working. Now, I don't sugarcoat anything. I've been in the ministry my whole life, and I've learned that don't work. Sugarcoating does not work, does it, brother? You know what happens when we sugarcoat things from the pulpit? Here's what happens. We're sitting here, and we think we're getting down, and we're telling everybody, and they're getting it. Whoop! Goes right over the head. That's confusing. So I just tell it like it is. It's the only way I know to do it. Y'all turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 51. We want to talk this morning about the condition of your heart. Mama Brenda, can you help over here? We're talking about the condition of your heart this morning. I have heard a lot of things about hearts over the past year. I have heard, well, I can't control who my heart falls in love with. Yeah, baby, you can. You can, and you better. Because if you don't, you and your heart and your life and everything else is going to be in trouble. I've also heard, well, I got to follow my heart. No, You better follow what God is telling you to do, because if you don't and you keep following that heart, which, by the way, God says that your heart is deceitful, it'll lie to you above all things who could ever know it, you're going to end up in the wrong place at the wrong time. So we're going to talk about the heart today, because the heart is slipping many Christians up today. I like to be relevant. If it's messing us up, we're going to talk about it. I've had people pull me in the back, pull out their books, and say, now on such and such day, you said from the pulpit, blah, 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 blah. And I said, now did I say that? And they said, yes, you did, and you were preaching it right at me. And I said, if I said it, I stand behind it. In the last days, people are going to say, now prophesy smooth words to me. Smooth words send people to hell. I'm interested in words that are going to fall and convict every heart that's in the wrong. Look here. By the way, when pastors get up and preach to you the word of God, what you need to understand is that you're looking at somebody that's very imperfect themselves. I probably have more problems than all of y'all put together. So when I'm preaching to myself first with every message. About 99% of the time I preach out of the overflow of what's happened in my life that week. Why? Because if you know what you're talking about, you're going to have a better time about talking about it, aren't you? That's right. So Psalms chapter 51 and verse 10, I'm going to encourage people to begin to bring their Bibles. Modern technology is wonderful. Have you noticed it disconnects you, though? There's nothing like having the Word of God right in front of you and looking at it and knowing what it says about your life. So Psalms chapter 51 and verse 10, it says here, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart. Now, why is David asking for this? Why? Because he didn't have one. The Word of God says, now you have not because you ask not. How many of you ever, you gotten ugly with somebody, you really showed yourself and you thought, I wish I wouldn't have done that. You ever done that? Man, it's really terrible. Because if you any part is saved, God's going to convict that part of you that just done that. It's very uncomfortable when he does. Because usually it involves humility. Then you got to go and be humble and do that thing which we all hate to do and say, I'm sorry. Them two little words that make or break us. Many people can't say them. I'm sorry, or I was wrong. Dead silence. Well, I'm just going to keep on nailing it in then. We're going to get some amens out of this. Amen. So create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Another translation says, God, give me back a right spirit. Give me back a right spirit. God, I got off. God, I got that impurity in my heart. God, I got the impurity back in my life. Lord, you took me out of the slime pit once, and I dove head first right back into that same thing. And God, I'm going to ask you right now to give me a pure heart. God, put that right spirit back in me, Lord. See? What we need is purity back in the heart of every believer. Believers all over, they're growing cold. They're using everything under the book. Coronavirus just gave everybody a golden ticket. Yeah, I'm going to get on that soapbox. You know I was heading there. Look here. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. Not a virus, not anything else. And I want to tell you, God still requires out of his people and his children what he said in the beginning. We're going to get these hearts cleaned up where they need to be. Many people, they don't know that their heart even has a problem, and it's been messing them up for years. These are the last days. I think sometimes when I have a bad day, Heather, I think, God, are you sure you called the right girl? Because, God, I'm feeling ugly today. And I'm feeling like pulling some shenanigans, and I'm not sure I'm going to be very nice to your sheep today. And then, John, I have my days where I'm not. See, if your pastor can keep it real, that's going to teach everybody to just keep it real. A lot of people are lying to themselves. They're telling themselves something. Everybody talks to themselves. You're either telling yourself this is never going to get any better, or you're telling yourself in the name of Jesus this thing is turning around. God's going to use it for his glory, or you're telling yourself this is the thing that's going to do me in. See, you better stop telling yourself what the devil's whispering in your ear, because you'll wake up in your life and you'll think, now how did I get here? Anybody ever woke up in their life and you thought, how did I get here? This was not supposed to be my life. How did I exactly, Lord, did I get here? See, your heart has something to do with it, I promise you. I promise you. So it says, God, give me that pure heart. The moment that you realize that something ain't right, that is the best time to stop. My husband said recently, he said, how much time do people want to invest in a wrong decision, a mistake? At the end of the day, the mistake is still the mistake. Most people, when they get up in something, instead of just saying, well, hold on a minute, this is wrong, I shouldn't be up in the middle of this. Most people, even when they are believing, Christian, God-fearing people, they'll stay up in that for one reason or the other. The best time to get up out of that is always right then, right then, right then. Today is the day of salvation. Now choose you this day what you're going to live like. A blessing, you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want to choose life or do you want to choose death? You make that choice. A lot of people think, well, I made that choice when I was 7 years old. Look here, I got saved when I was seven. You know how many times God's had to save me from my own self? More times than I'd like to admit. Why? Because I've gotten myself into some dumb things. I wish there was a prettier word for that, but there's not. They were just straight up, flat out dumb. At the time, they seemed like good ideas. Doesn't that sound like the Word of God when it says, now there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it's death. See, devil talk you up into something. He'll get you right up in the thick of it. Then you realize, oh, that ain't where I should be. That's not what I should be doing. And you'll feel so silly for being up in the middle of it. You just keep on going. No, I'm going to tell everybody something. I'm going to give you some of the best advice I could ever give you. Stop caring what you look like. Stop caring so much about what you look like. That is something. It's like when I tell my kids, stop it. Stop touching your brother. Get off of him. Leave him alone. Separate. There's certain things that if I could just record myself saying and just tap a button so I don't have to repeat it, that would be a phrase I would have to tap almost every day. Stop caring about what people think about so much about you. Don't be listening to your critics so much. Create in me a pure heart, and God, give me a right spirit. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore. 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 God is wanting to restore. About 3 weeks ago, I woke up with a very heavy, heavy heart. And I said, God, what are you doing to me? What's going on? I'm feeling something, but I'm kind of not the brightest one of your kids. What's going on? He said, Kelly, I want you to pray for restoration in your family. Pray for restoration in your family. And I said, well, God, they're pretty set in their ways and their decisions. I'm pretty sure they ain't. I just began to tell God all the reasons why that restoration couldn't take place. He said, I want you to pray for restoration. I'm going to begin to draw them back. I'm going to begin to draw them back. Amen. And you know what? I began to pray. Then I began to preach. One Sunday, I just stood up and I said, I thank God so-and-so. They're going to be sitting right over there. About 5 minutes later, in they walk. I'm going to tell you something. When God can get a hold of you and begin to talk to that heart, He'll tell you what to pray. He'll tell you what to believe for. He'll tell you which direction your life is turning right then and there. We all say, oh, I want to be right up in the center of God's will. I want what God wants. When really, a lot of times we full of it. We want what God wants so long as it doesn't inconvenience us or put us out or make us uncomfortable. You ever been thinking, I want God's will, and then He began to show it to you like, no, I don't want none of that. No. I take that back. God, I don't want none of that. Because that's just making, that. I see me going to have to be humble in that situation. No. Not going to do it. See, we're all fickle. Fickle people. That's why He says in His Word, you're a peculiar people, but I chose you. You're chosen, too. You're weird, but you're chosen. Did you catch that drift? You're some weird folks, but I chose you. I set you apart. You're a royal priesthood and a holy nation, but you're weird and you're fickle. I just learned how to embrace weird. When I was growing up, somebody said to me, I think it was Dad. He used to say, can you not? Well, I was terrible. Man, I'd be running up and down the church. I'd be crawling down these aisles, fiddling in people's purses, Dale, getting their candy, getting their pennies. It's embarrassing for pastors. Our kids are thieving from folks. He'd say, can't you be like Casey? There was a problem with that because, no, I couldn't. No, honestly, I gave it my best shot, and I could not do that. I ain't that good. I said, no. You know what God's saying to people? Look here, I want your heart. I want your whole heart. I'm not asking you to be like anybody else. I'm asking you to be the best version of yourself. The best version of you is when you've given that heart over to God. When you say, God, I'll take your best. God, what is your best? What is that? What do you want me to do, Lord? And God put that right spirit in me because somewhere I got off. I love when Brother Tommy sings because he either will nail it on that first try or he won't. But if he won't, he'll be like, whoa, hold on. I'm going to restart that. And then he'll be like, and put the echo on. Get the echo. I don't even know what echo is. Something in that sound booth they fiddle with when he says it. Some of us need to be like, devil, I rode around with you for the very last time. We're going to put the praise music on, and we're going to turn this life around. It's going to start with me giving Jesus my heart again. Some people banking on, well, I asked Jesus into my heart when I was a kid, and that's all I need to do. No, it ain't all you need to do. You better get to living it. You better give it to Him every day. Because every day the devil's trying to get up in that heart and cause confusion. Cause confusion. So restore to me the joy of your salvation. And here's the very key word. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Many people are very unwilling to do what God's asked them to do. The right thing is often the most hardest thing. God, give me a spirit that's going to go along with what you've told me to do. Lord, I ain't going to naturally just wake up and want to do what you said. Why? Because I'm rebellious. When's the last time you just got real with God? Lord, you know I'm a rebellious girl. Lord, help me. Give me that right spirit. Why? Because it's going to be the only thing that sustains you. It's going to be the only thing that helps you to stand when everything else is knocking you down. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. How important is a willing spirit? Very important. Because when life gets real and it gets tough, if you have a willing spirit to do what God told you to do and to be where God told you to be with who God told you to be with, to go where he told you to go, that's going to sustain you. It's going to hold you up. Next verse for me is Jeremiah chapter 17. We're talking about the heart today. We're talking about the heart today. Why are we talking about it? Because it's messing people up everywhere. People's confused. You know how many messages I get and they're like, Pastor Kel, I'm just confused. Man, I thought I was going to go one way with the decision. Then I changed my mind and I went the other way. And now I don't know which way I'm going because I'm really not happy about either one of them things. That ever happened to anybody else? That happens to me all the time. I have an opinion or a thought about something. Now I'm going to go with it. Give me about 5 minutes. I'm like, yeah, that ain't suit me neither. We got to just turn it over to God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. There's so many things that come up in life and they're so difficult. They're so hard. They're gut-wrenching. They're grievous. You'll be blessed if you'll put your trust in them. I'm not saying what you're going through is easy. I'm not saying what you face isn't big. I'm telling you that you got a God and he's bigger. I'm telling you that you have a God and he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. I'm not belittling any situation or scenario that you're going through today. But what I am telling you is to get your head and your heart, gain some perspective and turn your eyes up to God. Because see, God knows it all. He knows it all. He knows what's going to help you. He knows what's going to hurt you. And isn't it funny how sometimes we think, oh, this is going to be so much better. This is going to be great. We get up in them things and they're horrible. You ever got yourself into something you think, what was I doing when I thought this was a good idea? Don't answer that because I don't want to know what y'all was doing. I have enough problems. I don't want to know. But blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. There's so many things. People let you down. People leave you. They said they wasn't going to leave you. All these things, Crystal. There's so many things in life. But the one thing you can hang your hat on every day is who God is. Who he is as a God. Who he is as daddy God. Who he is as provider God. Who he is as your best friend. God's never going to leave you. He's never going to leave you hanging. We think, well, gosh, I don't even have anybody I trust. I don't have anybody I can talk to. Talk to God. Talk to God. Tell him. A lot of people think, well, God knows it all. Yes, he does. I don't care. Get up in there. Get to talking to God. Get that communication line up where it needs to be. Talk to him. Tell him. When you've gotten off, say, God, I've just gotten off. I don't know. Sometimes people, we get so far gone, we don't know where we went wrong. God, help me. I don't know. I don't even know how this situation got like this, but God, it's messed up. You know what God will do? He'll take you. He'll love on you. He'll say, okay. He'll pet your little head. You'll put your little ears back. And he'll say, okay. You sweet little darling. Here's where we missed it. Here's what you're going to do differently. And look here. Here's a good life. Here's a good life. So many people think after you mess up, it's all over. Let me tell you, after you mess up, there's still the glory and grace and provision and favor of God. It's still there. It's still there. Just like I said in the beginning of this message, there's nothing new under the sun. Michelle, there is nothing new under the sun. When we mess up, when life has gotten so difficult, and we say, oh my God, Lord, I'll never be the same. God says, no, you won't be the same. You're going to be better. You're going to be better. You're going to be happier. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to be whole. See, the devil's in there and he's saying everything that's not going to be right. And God's saying, now, you, look here. When has that ever been? And it says, he will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. You ever get in life and you can feel when the heat's coming? Sometimes it just happens and it's shocking. You're like, bam, there it is. Now, some other times you feel that storm coming. You feel that heat coming. What does it say about those times? It says, it does not fear when heat comes. It does not fear. When you feel like that storm of life, like that trial is coming, don't be afraid of that thing. You get your big boy pants on and your big girl pants on and you say, you know what? Now my God said that the battle, it belongs to him. The battle belongs to him. He said in his word, I already have the victory. So if the battle is his, and I already have the victory, then God, all that's left for me to do is just to surrender to you. Surrender to you. Now, God may not do that battle exactly how you thought he should. Most of the time, he don't. Why? Because there's things you don't even know about your situation. There are factors about your situation that you don't even know. And if you knew them, you'd probably mess them up. You ever know about a secret something, and just by you knowing, it messed something up? There was one time I was standing right there in that door, and it was my job to be the door greeter at that part in ministry. And I was pregnant with Carson Paul. That was about a decade ago. Here I was, about just a few weeks from having that kid, and I was crying. I was about to really pull a real doozy. I was about to quit my job, do a whole lot of other crazy things. Why? Out of fear. Out of fear. Because I thought, this is a crazy world. I'm not going to let nobody have this baby and take care of this baby. I don't have nowhere to walk. Dad goes, Kelly, you're supposed to be the door greeter. You over here crying and sobbing, and you're passing out the programs, and here you are crying. This is going to repel people from coming up in here. He said, what is the problem? I said, I don't know who's going to watch Carson Paul. I hadn't even had the kid yet. I could just feel me wanting to worry about that. And he said something. If you can hold on to it today, it's going to help you. He said, you don't know yet because you're not supposed to know. When it's time for you to know, you will know. There's a lot of times in life when we say, God, I don't know what, I don't know how you're going to work this out. God, I don't know how you're going to fix this. God, I don't know what you're going to do. And he's saying, when it's time for you to know, you'll know. You'll know. You'll know it. You'll have that sweet, sweet, blessed assurance, and you'll know. And you won't know a moment before you're supposed to. So when you don't know about what you're going to do about something, don't freak out about that. Trust God. Trust God. So it says here, it does not fear when heat comes, and its leaves are always green. Why are they always green? Because they always doing good, irregardless of the situation. You know, throughout this corona, the church has thrived. What does that sound like? Oh, sounds like God had a part in that. That's what that sounds like to me. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. You know, a lot of people, when they get up in the middle of something, Melissa, they stop bearing fruit. They stop bearing fruit. Don't stop doing things for God. Don't stop walking in your calling just when something gets a little hard. Life gets hard. It gets hard. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep your head up. Keep going. Keep going. See, the devil, if he can paralyze you in a certain state of mind, you're going to stop. Don't stop bearing fruit. Continue. Go on. Go on. Why? Because God's with you right there in that moment. There are times where we literally, physically, emotionally, we could not go on. In those times, you know what he does? He scoops us up and he says, okay, we're going on. God said in his word, now let us go to the other side. Many times, Casey Renee, I've had to let God say, now, we're going to get to the other side. There were times I thought, I ain't going to make it through this, God. Mm-mm, this is it. That's when I learned a little bit more about binding and loosing. God began to show me, Kelly, this is your house. You have dominion. I gave it to you. Go have it, girl. Oh, for weeks, I'd walk through my home, and I got real good at binding and loosing. Why? Because practice makes perfect. I've been practicing being nice to folks I don't like. Now, you're not going to hear that in every church. Does the pastor have problems with people they don't like? Yeah. Only a liar would stand up and be like, I love everybody. Well, I just assume keep it real. I can help people better when I'm not lying. I've been practicing. Why have I been practicing? Because there's one I really don't like, and when I run into her, I'm going to behave. Glory to God. He's going to help me to do it. And I've been noticing something real strange going up in my little heart. I'm starting not to really not like them. I'd be in my car and I'd be reflecting. And I'd say, you know what, God, that person's not all bad. God, for everything that they did good in my life, Lord, I ask that you'd bless them. God, help me. Help me. See, it's about the condition of your heart. There are times you have to stop and you have to say exactly what David said. Now, God, give me a clean heart. God, put a right spirit back up in within me. Because God, I mean, you both know, I ain't doing right up in there. So it says, the heart is deceitful and above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can understand it? Look here. That heart, it'll lie to you a million times in your lifetime. Don't be following your heart. This is not your life is not a country song. Okay? I stopped listening to that stuff. You know why? Because it's straight up depressing. Don't tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart. I just don't think I'd understand. Well, no, it don't understand. That's what got me up in here. No, it ain't understanding nothing. I don't even know how I got here up in this part of my life. It's depressing. Somebody didn't tell their heart something. That's how it got achy, breaky to begin with. Can you feel me? And it says here, I, the Lord, search the heart. God's the only one search that heart. And I'm going to give you a nugget. You need to get to that place where you say, God, search this heart. God, there's a problem here. You ever took your car to the mechanic and you're like, look, something's going on. I don't know what it is. Search it and figure it out. Here's my thing. If them lights start coming on, I don't do lights on vehicles. If them lights come on, we're getting something new. I don't do them lights on them dashboards. Man, if it's the gas, that's it. But if it's anything else, I ain't dealing with them lights. You got to say, God, now search me. Search me, God. God, get me up in that process and help me to see where I missed it. Help me to see where that heart was real deceptive, how I got into this, God. And it says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct and according to what his deeds deserve. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about the heart this morning. We're going to start at verse 15. Ooh. The title of this message is, What's Ruling Your Heart? Something's been ruling it. What's ruling it? We're in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 15. What I've learned about God's Word is you can hang on it line upon line, precept upon precept. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Number one, you have to let it. You have to let it. You can either give your peace up or you can keep your peace. You have to let it. You have to let that peace come up in there and rule. It's a letting. If it wasn't a letting, it wouldn't say let. You would just say, now the peace is coming and it's going to be there at 9 o'clock. But no, it doesn't say that. It says, now let the peace of God rule in your heart. Why? Because everything else would like to get up in there and start ruling your heart around. Fear, worry, stress, anxiety, depression, sadness. Something's ruling up in there. What is it? Do you even know? Do you even know? And if you don't, I'm going to give you some direction. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know what's up in that heart, ruling that heart, ask God to show you. Don't be destroyed for just not knowing. Ask God to show you. And it says, now let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. How many of you know that you've been called to peace? You've been called to a state of peace. I'm not saying that things don't happen in your life that cause you to have unpeace. I like to dummy them things down for myself. But what I am saying is God's peace was there before you. It'll be there after you. There's nothing new under the sun. The peace of God is on the face of this earth. You can have it. But you're going to have to let it come in. You're going to have to let it begin to rule. Because everything else is trying to take its place. You got to let that peace do what it's supposed to do. Let it come in. Let it rule. When you get a fiery dart from the devil and says, oh, you're dumb, you shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah. That peace is going, no, no. God's turning this around right now. I'm not going to get stressed about this and let it ruin my whole day, my whole week, and my whole whatever. Nope. Peace, you do what you do. You're going to rule this situation. How many of you realize you could be having a perfect day and in a moment's time, it just got bad all of a sudden? That's life. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. That means that happens for sinners and it happens for believers. So what we have to do is we have to know how to get our heart where it needs to be so we can be successful, victorious, at rest, at peace. Why am I focusing so much on peace? You ever been in a place where you don't have any peace? You realize how valuable it is when you're so stressed, intense. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, I've been saying this for over a year. Get your Bible out. This is not a dust bunny home. This is the word of God. Get it out. Figure out what it says about your life. Get into the Word of God. It's not enough for your pastor to just get up here and read 3 or 4 verses every service. That's not enough. You're going to have to get this. You're going to have to draw it into you. You're going to have to put it into your life. Because the Word itself wants to live up inside of you. says, now let it dwell in you. It can't dwell in there if you ain't getting it in there. Amen? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's so many times where life gets so difficult. It gets so just... How many of y'all got Alexa up in your house? That heifer. Ugh. She only listens to Jeremy, I will say. For all of you people that you don't know who Alexa is, she's like a little... I don't even know what to call her, a nuisance. She lives up in this little machine, and she talks to you, and she does what you tell her to do, if she likes you. Jeremy, he programmed all the lights to say, turn on, blah, 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 okay? She don't listen, and I'm a hick, and those two things are really bad for me. So I said, Alexa, turn on the sunroom. She's like, I don't understand that. Alexa, I get louder and louder. Jeremy's like, quit screaming at her. This jerk don't understand. I own this house. Why ain't she turning on them lights? You know what I got to do? I got to dumb it real down for her. Alexa, how you doing today? Please, Alexa, turn on the sun room. Ding. She's temperamental. So are we. You get it? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Last place for me this morning, Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 12. We just read a verse where it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. See, it doesn't want to just get up inside of you. It wants to get up in there and dwell in a rich state. What do we think that means? You ever notice how the Bible's full of adjectives? I don't know what they call them now. Casey, are they still adjectives? Adjectives. I have to ask. I don't know. I was helping Carson over the summer, and it said, now this number sentence do blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? I didn't know them were sentences. I thought they were just numbers. Nope. Thank God I don't have to take any intelligence tests. Be a big fat fail. God didn't call me to that. He just called me to do this, and I'll happily do it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. Okay? So this right here, it's living and it's active. So Aunt Patty, when we put it into our lives and we let it dwell richly, it's living and it's active. What is it going to do? It's going to cause the way we live, the actions that we take, to come in line with what it says to do. What happens when we come in line with the Word of God? Anything you need to happen. Do you need a breakthrough? Do you need provision? Do you need an answer to prayer? See? Sometimes we're sitting here and we're scratching our head. We're going, now God, why aren't things working out? Well, we don't even know what God says about how to get things to work out. You know? It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The Word of God, you could be going along in your life fine. You get the Word in you. What does it begin to do? It begins to divide some things. Right and wrong. You get that Word of God up in you, you know what else you're going to get in you? Is that Holy Spirit that's saying, now look here, this part of your life, I can't bless it. There'll be something inside of you that wasn't there before, and it's going to say, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be with that person. No, you can help it. You can help it. Stop listening to that heart. It's lying. So many people, it's very simple, Miss Mary. Their lives are tore up because they have not let the Word of God come in. There's church attenders, and that's great. Many pastors will focus only on attendance. Then there's actual believers. Believers got to read the Word of God because they got to let it come up in there and begin to dwell. Because when it comes up in there, it's like a two-edged sword. It's getting up in there and it's telling you, yes, yes, go that way. Yes, be with that person. Yes, go here. Yes, go there. Yes, get involved in that. And then it's also saying, no. No. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? What does the Word do? It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It judges it. You ever had a bad attitude about something you thought you was justified and you justified yourself, and then when you really got alone by yourself, you realized, no, you was wrong. That's probably because you had some Word up in you telling you, no, you can't act that way. No, you can't do that. That's wrong. That's wrong. Many people, when they get in that place, Brother John, when that Word said, no, you're wrong. Many people, I've seen it over and over and over. They will not humble themselves. They will not stop right where they're at. They keep on going. They keep on going. When you know something's wrong, stop right there. Stop right there. There's no shame in stopping right there in that moment where you realize, no, 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 I've gotten off here. Some got off. I've gotten off in my pastorship a couple times. One time this lady called me up and she was like, you're going to come over here and you're going to get these kids and you're going to do blah, 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 blah. You know the devil loves to kill off pastors. Get them in the wrong place at the wrong time. Just snuff them out. Well, dumb old me. I got in the car, headed towards the house, and went to go get her kids. And I'm over there driving. God says, what are you doing? Well, I mean, I'm doing a good deed. Gonna go get these kids and blah, blah, blah. God's saying, you're in the wrong. Kelly, what happens if a semi-truck comes over here because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time? I didn't tell you to go over here. Well, I'm pretty dumb. I kept going. We ain't got them kids. I didn't know she was coming. She come too. And it proceeded to make my life miserable for the rest of the day. God said, next time, you're going to listen. Are you miserable? Yes, Lord. Yes, I am. God, you always said you had a way out. How are we getting rid of her? Where am I taking her? Yeah. I've had some wild experiences because it got off. Because it got off. We can laugh about it now, but God was not happy. He was not happy. You got to do what He tells you to do. You got to let that Word get up in you so you can know what He's telling you to do. So many times I hear, Pastor Kelly, I just don't know what to do. I'm not hearing from God. He's not saying nothing. And I'm like, God, why are you not saying anything? And He's going, I am. They ain't got enough of the Word in them to hear me. Get that Word up in you. God's talking to you. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. We're going to all give an account one day. There's a day coming where every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord and nobody else, nothing else. It's only Him. We're going to all give an account. Am I trying to scare you? No, I'm trying to get you prepared. Can you give an account today? Could you give an account today? Has your heart gotten you off in some things you're not proud of? Has your heart gotten you in some situations you didn't need to be in? See, it's very plain and simple. I'm not going to get a violin and get them boys to play this heart-throbbing music and get you to saying, did you mess up just a smidge? I'm going to ask you straight up, did the heart get you off? Are you in a place where you say, I can't hear God, I don't know what He's telling me to do? Now, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you need prayer, you're going to stand where you're at. We're going to pray. What are we praying for? We're going to pray that God come up into that heart, that you can begin to hear His words, that you can begin to do what those words are telling you to do, that you will never be in a position again where you allow that heart to get you off. God's not mad at you. And no, your situation did not take Him by surprise. We've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of who He is. We don't live in mistakes. We walk over them. We walk past them. We get through them. How do we do that? We get the heart right. We get the heart right. Y'all raise your hands. I'm going to begin to pray. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray right now for every heart. God, I ask that You would search the heart right now. God, point out any places in that heart, God, that's not pleasing to You. God, I ask right now that You'd give us the courage that we need to be able to listen to You. God, to let that Word come up inside of us. God, help us all to take the time to get that Word in us. God, put desires back in that heart to get up in Your Word. And Lord, I ask that You'd set us free from all the things that's got us bound up. All the snares that the devil has put in our pathway, God, to trip us up. I ask right now that you'd help us, God. And Lord, we give it to You. We give it all to You. And God, I thank You right now that You're delivering people right now in Your presence. And God, we give You all the praise. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope to see you tonight at 5:30. Y'all have